ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to The Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
But you heard the story maybe of the couple. They were in their 90s. And they went to the doctor. They had, you know, some problems remembering things. And the doctor says, you know, physically, you guys are perfect. No problems. I don't find anything wrong. Your memory's a little off. It'd probably be a good idea to write things down. And that way you'll remember them. Well, later that night they were watching TV and the old man gets up from his chair and said to his wife, you know, you want anything from the kitchen? Oh, give me a bowl of ice cream, she said. Well, sure. And she said, you know, don't you think you should write it down? You're probably not going to remember what I want. You better write it down. He's like, no, come on. I'll remember. I'll remember. Don't worry. Well, I like some strawberries on the top, too. You better write that down. You're not going to remember both those things. You're going to forget it. I can remember that. You want a bowl of ice cream with strawberries? Well, put some whipped cream on also. And I'm certain, man, you're going to forget that. You're not going to remember all these things. Now he's getting irritated. You know how that goes. I don't need to write it down. I can remember it. Ice cream with strawberries and whipped cream. I got it, for goodness sake. Come on. Well, he goes into the kitchen. And about 20 minutes later, the old man returns from the kitchen, hands his wife a plate of bacon and eggs, and she stares at the plate. And she goes, where's my toast? All right. That's why we need to set up memorial stones. Memorial stones, remembering what God has done in our past to help us. We don't live in the past. That's a bad thing to do. You know, some people, oh, I remember back in such and such a time, it was perfect back then. I guarantee you there was no time in history that was perfect, okay? Well, there was. When God created the heavens and the earth, Adam and Eve were created, and then they sinned, and that was it. So I don't. However long that lasted, it wasn't very long. But you don't live there. You learn from it. You be encouraged because you see the hand of God upon your life during those times. And again, I think that's what Joshua's doing here. Look at what God has done. You were a people who weren't even a people. God brought you together. He made you into a nation. Down in Egypt, brought you out of Egypt. Look, He brought you into the promised land. Look at God's hand upon your life. Memorial stones are so important. Turn back to Joshua 4 for a second. And we're going to look at verses 4 through 8 here. And it deals with these memorial stones. And this is what we're told. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the children of Israel, one man from every tribe. And Joshua said to them, cross over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and each one of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel. That is, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in time to come, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it crossed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so, just as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones from the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord had spoken to Joshua, according to the number of tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them to the place where they lodged and laid them down there. That's what, in a sense, Joshua is doing here. He's setting up these memorial stones for them to remember all that God has done for them. And because of what God has done, they need to commit their lives to Him. And for the children of Israel in Joshua 4, when they set up those memorial stones, they just crossed over the Jordan. Remember, the Jordan was overflowing its banks during that time, and the Lord told Joshua, let the priests go in, carry the Ark of the Covenant into the waters. When their foot touches the waters will open up, and the children of Israel can cross over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. And we said that was kind of interesting that the Ark of the Covenant, inside the Ark of the Covenant, were the tablets of stone where the Ten Commandments were written, the Word of God. Remember how the children of Israel were guided 40 years in the wilderness by the Shekinah glory. the pillar of fire by night, the cloud by day. God was leading them. When the pillar of fire moved or the cloud moved, it was time for children of Israel to move their camp. But now something's changed. It's not the pillar of fire. It's not the cloud. It's the word of God that's guiding them into the promised land. And these memorial stones that they're setting up, when your children ask you, what are those for? You should have seen what God has done. He brought us into this land. And they can tell the stories of how God brought them in to encourage that next generation and really to help remind them of what God was doing. But at this point in time, in Joshua 4, they hadn't even defeated one enemy yet. And yet those stones were to be a reminder of the faithfulness of God before they even gained a victory. And after they entered the land, then Jericho fell. Ai, after they were defeated by Ai because of sin in the camp. And each time they saw these stones, when they went back to camp, they were reminded of who was fighting for them, who was on their side. It was God. And they battled for 7 long years in the promised land. 7 long years of war. And yet God was faithful. And I think that kept them going. Coming back to camp, seeing those stones. Oh yeah, God's fighting for us. We're tired, but man, we're going to gain another victory. And probably another 13 years of each tribe driving out those pockets of resistance that were still in the land. And now they're to pass this information to their children about the faithfulness of God. And now Joshua's passing it on to what? That next generation, the people. As he's passing off the scene, he's going to die soon. Again, this whole section is dealing with preparation for commitment, remembering what God has done. And I think if you really want to commit your life to the Lord, remember what he's done in your life, because you're going to need those things. You know, there have been times over the years where I get discouraged, believe it or not. And my wife reminds me, Joe, do you think God just brought you up here to drop you off? It sounds so silly, right? But it's so simple. Well, of course he didn't. He's still with me as he was when he brought me up here. It's good to remember that. Those memorial stones that we tend to forget so easily. Because as we remember, it'll help us during the darkest of days. As I look back, I can see how God brought me to saving faith. Memorial stones. How did God bring you to saving faith? Those are memorial stones. As I look back, I can see how God opened doors of ministry for me. You know, Bible studies, infant and toddler ministries, children's ministries, assistant pastor, small group leader, and so on. He was preparing me for what was ahead. And as I look back, memorial stones. As I look back, I can see how God called me to be a pastor here in Wisconsin, and he brought it to pass. That's a memorial stone. That's a huge one. As I look back, I can see how God has worked in and through this church over the last 24 years, how he's provided for us and sustained us. Memorial stones. I mean, and that's just a brief summary. I can go on and on. And I'm sure as you look back over your life, you can see what God has done in your life in the past. And allow it to be a great comfort and encouragement for what you're facing today. Those memorial stones. And maybe you haven't done that in some time. You know, sometimes we get into that period of our walk where we don't think about what God has done. And it becomes overwhelming our lives. And we don't even know what to do anymore. I'll tell you what to do. Remember what God has done in the past. To encourage you in the present situations you are facing. It's kind of like the speech here from Joshua or from, you know, Winston Churchill. It fires you up. Wow, look at what all God has done. And he's still on the throne and hasn't given up on me. The work he's begun, he's going to complete. If you've neglected that, go back and look at those memorial stones. Just take an inventory. I mean, you don't have to spend all day on it, but just spend a little time thinking about what God has done in your life, where you're at today, how he brought you to this point. And thank him then for it and let it encourage you with what you're facing today. Preparation for commitment, remembering what God has done, so important. Well, back in Joshua 24, look at verse 14. Joshua said, "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the people answered and said, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is he who brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." So this is the second point, the confrontation with commitment, making the choice to serve. And really what Joshua is doing here, he's basically asking them, who are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Everyone serves somebody. There is no doubt. And some of you remember Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan tried Jesus. I don't even know what that means, but he did try Jesus for a while. But he wrote some amazing songs. One of them was, "You Gotta Serve Somebody." And part of the song goes like this: "But you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody." And he was right on. Those are the only two options. You're only going to serve the devil or the Lord. "Oh, not me. I serve myself." No, okay, who's guiding you, okay? There is someone who is leading you, and it's either the devil or it's the Lord. It's as simple as that. And for Joshua, he's basically saying, look, if you're serving the Lord, continue on, keep moving forward, because we're going to have to serve somebody. But the tragedy here is what is said in verse 14 of Joshua 24. "Now therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord." Think about it. They are 40 plus years out of Egypt. Wow. And they're still worshiping the gods of Egypt? They're already into idolatry. They never let go of those things completely. They're worshiping the gods in Mesopotamia. And Joshua's still living. And he's telling them, put away those gods, guys. Serve the Lord. With sincerity, without hypocrisy. You know, if you can't, and basically he's saying, hey, if you can't serve the Lord with your whole heart, don't serve him at all. It's not worth it. See, the question is not if, but who. Who are you going to serve? Because we worship, every one of us worships something or someone, as I've said. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, no one can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. For Joshua, he knew who he would serve, the Lord. And he's trying to admonish the people, put away those gods, serve the true and living God. Ellen Redpath put it up like this. He said, "The best test of sincerity is not always the open hostility of foes, for this often braces up the energies of combat, while at the same time it makes the path of duty clear. Still less it is at the hour of triumph over our foes, then there is no temptation to rebel. The real test of our faithfulness to God is, in most cases, is our power to continue steadfastly in one course of conduct when the excitement of conflict is removed and the enemies with which we have to contend are the insidious allurements of ease or custom amid the commonplace duties of life." In other words, the most dangerous time is when nothing is going on, when we have peace and prosperity. That's the most dangerous time, because we draw away from God. and I look at our nation, and that's exactly what I see. We had so many years of peace and prosperity. We have so many things. You know, my wife went to Russia several years ago on a missions trip. And she said, you know, we go to the store and, you know, you've got like hundreds of choices of different breads. There, if they have bread in the store, you're lucky. I mean, how many different brands of toilet paper do we have? You got one ply, two ply, three ply, whatever it is. I don't even know what they're up to anymore. You're thankful if you have toilet paper in the stores in Russia. We have so much prosperity. We were so blessed as a nation. And look at where we're at today. Where we flaunt our sin, we're proud of our sin, and we have no problem murdering children in the womb. Go figure. What happened? Peace and prosperity caused us to move away. You will serve somebody. And that's what Joshua is calling them on. Remember what God has done in the past. We went over the history. You can't deny what God has done. So the logical conclusion, guys, is follow the Lord. Obey Him with sincerity and truth, without hypocrisy. It's a logical decision. It just makes sense, doesn't it? I mean, why would you follow anyone else? And if you think about it, you know, Jesus said that the devil's come to kill and destroy people's lives. Do you really think this world loves you at all? Are you kidding me? But I know someone who does, and that's God. He loved you so much that He died for you. Logically, it makes sense, right? But we don't make decisions based on logic. We go by feelings and our heart, which is deceptive at times, many times. You know, Paul, if you remember from our Romans study, spent 11 chapters talking about all that God had for them, all the blessings, all that God has done for them. And then after those 11 chapters through the rest of Romans, Paul starts dealing with how we're to walk. In fact, in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's really what Joshua is saying here. Look at all that God has done for you. Now, you need to give your life to Him and follow Him. You need to serve Him. You need to commit your life to Him. In fact, in Romans 12, 1, the word that Paul uses for reasonable in the Greek is where we get our English word logical from. It's just logical to worship the true and living God. You know, as much as I complained about the snow we had the other day, wasn't it beautiful? I mean, I'm kind of upset because there's still leaves on my trees, but it was beautiful. I still got to deal with that. But man, you look at that. You look at the beauty of nature. Isn't it logical to worship the one who's created all these things? It just makes sense. It's reasonable. It's logical. And really, total commitment to the Lord. Joshua challenged them by saying, look, if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I like that about Joshua. Hey, you guys got to choose who you're going to serve. But you know what? What you do is not going to influence me. I've already made my decision. It's a logical decision. It's a reasonable decision. I'm going to serve the Lord. But you have a choice to make now. And I hope I'm encouraging you to follow the Lord. That's what He's doing. He doesn't tell them, you guys go home and think about this. Let me know the conclusion you come to. No. Choose this day whom you will serve. Why? Because they're already aware of what God has done. So now it's just logical to follow the Lord. You got to decide. And for Joshua, you think, well, who gave him the right to challenge him like that? Well, his life was a living testimony of someone who surrendered his life to the Lord. And he lived what he said he believed. Was he a perfect man? No, because he was a man. But he loved the Lord. And his life illustrate at that point. How about us? We've made that commitment to the Lord, and that's really given us the right to testify of Him, to challenge people, to think about the Lord. And what a great thing to do. How do you think all this stuff came together? How do you think everything, we got all these trees and, animals and birds and fish and people. How did that just happen by random chance happening? Can you explain that to me? I'm just curious. They can't. Evolution is based on faith. There is zero evidence for evolution from one species to another. Oh, you have different types of birds and dogs and things like that. But they're still dogs or birds or whatever. But that's it. So you challenge people. Who gives me the right to challenge people like that? God does, because He's worked in me, and now He's told me, you go share that with others. We have the right to testify of our faith. The challenge, I guess, for us, are we going to show our family, our friends, our coworkers, and even strangers that we're going to serve the Lord no matter what? Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. That was a commitment that he made. That's what we need to do. You see, are we going to let others influence how we respond? Are we going to let this person or that person, what they're doing, influence us? No. Our passion is to serve the Lord no matter what. And people will follow our example, what we're showing them. You know, I shared with you many times before, when I worked at the hospital and the doctor's office, when the nurses would come around and they'd have a joke to tell that was off color, when they saw me, they either wouldn't tell the joke or they would say, Joe, you probably shouldn't listen to this one. You should make an influence in people's lives. And hopefully, my heart's desire was to make them uncomfortable so they didn't tell the joke. That was just me. But boy, I pray we're like Joshua. You guys do whatever you want, but for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I am not going to let anyone discourage me or lead me away from that. And what did the people say? Far be it from us, we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, including the Amorites who dwelt in the land. We also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. Now I find it interesting, as they probably had their little idols all around them or whatever, They said they wanted to serve the Lord. They wanted to make a commitment. Sometimes when you hear someone speak with passion, it affects you emotionally. Joshua didn't want this to be an emotional response. He wanted it to be a response from the heart that they made a commitment to God. Not just something that was emotional, like a football game. You're excited, it's fun, you're cheering and screaming, and then the game's over and what? Now you're doing whatever. The motion's gone. No, this is a different type of commitment. It's beyond emotion. It's a commitment to God that's with us wherever we go, whatever we do. Obeying what God has said. And for Joshua, get rid of those idols, he's telling them. If you made a commitment to God, you got to change. So the second point, confrontation with commitment, making the choice to serve. And they said they were going to serve the Lord. Isn't that great? When you hear someone like that, oh, we're going to serve the Lord. Praise God. You're excited, right? Joshua wasn't. You think they would have all gone home with joy in their hearts, but that's not what happened. And our third point, authentication of commitment, counting the cost. Look at verse 19 in Joshua 24. We're told this. But Joshua said to the people, "You cannot serve the Lord, for He is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. For if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. And the people said to Joshua, no, but we will serve the Lord. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourself that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now, therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice we will obey.
Devoting ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread and communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word? Come and join together in the presence of God.
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin, 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with his sustaining word.